And now, by the marvel of transatlantic telephone, we should be talking to the young... By the marvel of transatlantic telephone, yeah, we should be talking to the young Mr. Gracie out there in Philadelphia. How you going, Charlie?
How are you, Stuart?
Yeah,
good afternoon to all my friends in Great Britain.
Yeah, and you've got many thousands of them, my man.
Well, thank you.
Charlie, so come on, tell me first of all, how did that French tour go just a couple of, or a week ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that went terrific. We had a wonderful time. I think there was about maybe 3,000 people showed up for that, so it was quite an extravaganza.
Ah, that was good then. They're very, very good. Right.
Yes.
Now, Charlie, I was going to talk to you a little bit. Obviously, the Cameo years were great for music. You put out some wonderful tracks in the Cameo years. Didn't get much money, but the tracks were good.
Thank you.
And from Cameo, I think you did a little bit on Coral, didn't you?
Yes, I went with three or four different companies after that, but unfortunately I never had great success until about maybe two or three years ago. We finally topped the top 100 again with Baby Doll, and it wasn't a big moneymaker, but at least we hit the charts again after all those years.
Yeah, it was a good track. I gave it several plays over here. I thought it was a good track.
Yeah, I thought it would go higher, but unfortunately we had very poor promotion on it. But listen, it was nice to have something back on the charts again after all these years.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, you'd have done really well at Windsor this weekend, wouldn't you, if you could have done that little theatre in Windsor again?
Well, I remember when I played it. It was about 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was. Like yeah, all of that.
It's a wonderful theatre, and we had a great night that night, and you could almost reach out and touch the castle with your hands on the back of the theater.
You certainly could. You certainly could.
I didn't get invited to the wedding, but it's okay.
Well, I keep looking in the post to see if mine's been mislaid somewhere, but I haven't had it yet.
we caught it all here in the States. It was a wonderful... they did a wonderful job on that. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, it was a good day. And then after that, I watched my team win the cup final.
Oh, you had a home run that day.
That was a home run, all right, mate. That was really good.
Yeah.
Really, really, really good. Now, can you remember...
You had a sunshine day, which is unusual for the event.
Don't be silly. Don't be silly. We always get the sunshine here in the UK.
Let me tell you something. The last 10 days here in America, I thought I was in the UK. It rained for 10 straight days, man.
I know. I was talking to Bruce. You remember Bruce on the New Mountain? Lives halfway up the mountain. And he kept telling me, it's dark, it's cloudy, it's raining.
Oh, terrible. It was terrible. Yesterday was a sunshiny day, but we're supposed to have showers again today.
Yeah. Well, we've had it really good. I have to say, it's been great over here. So, come on back, mate. We need you over here.
All right, lad.
I think you're coming over later in the year, or...?
I'm coming over in July. I'll be there for the celebrity Wildcats in town in Pakefield, England.
Oh, yeah.
July the 8th.
Yeah.
That's for Richie G.
Right.
I did it about 3 or 4 years ago. It's always a great event, and he's a great guy. We always have a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. And then hopefully you'll be back in the fall with any luck.
Yes, if I'm still alive, I'll be there. I tell everybody. I just had a big birthday, I guess.
Listen, I know, and as I said to you the other day, belated happy birthday. 82 years of age.
Well, let me just say this here. When we lit the candles on the cake, they had to call the fire department. I hit the big 82 this year. It's amazing. I just don't know where the hell it went. It's just amazing. It goes so quickly.
And still rocking. Nearly as old as that guitar of yours.
Well, that's 60 years old at least.
Yeah, it's got to be, isn't it?
Yeah. I would never part with that instrument for all the money in the world.
No.
It's part of my body.
That's right, yeah. Seen you through a lot of great hits.
Yeah.
Stuff like Wandering Eyes, Butterfly, Fabulous, Cool Baby.
Oh, my, yeah.
That was Cool Baby.
Let me ask you something. How are you doing, by the way?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Yeah.
You and the family, everybody's good.
We are all fine, yes. And I'm back at my old radio station, Radio Way, so everything is hunky-dory.
Wonderful. I congratulate you for being back on the post again.
Now, listen, you did that film Jamboree, and
yes.
I seem to remember, was it Fats Domino, Buddy Knox, Jerry Lee, you, Jimmy Bowen at the Four Coins. Yes. That was 57. And wasn't Count Basie there somewhere?
And Slim Whitman, too, remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember Slim Whitman. Oh, Rosemary. Yeah, I remember him.
It was let me say this to you. The film was like a bomb, but the musical part of it was outstanding. Some great artists in that film.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of those films were, even Rock Around the Clock, it was all about the music and nothing else,
yes,
really.
Yes. But, unfortunately, there's only a couple of us left from that film. Still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Never mind. Are you sure Jerry Lee is still alive? Because when I look at him...
God bless him. He's a year older than me. I don't know how he's standing.
No.
A great talent.
Yeah, of course he is. Now, tell us about your meeting with Paul McCartney. I remember you met up with Paul.
Coming into town for a 2 or 3 week engagement on the road, you know?
Yeah.
And when I got off the plane, the cat said to me, Charlie, Paul McCartney was to me. I said, get out of here. He said, you got to be kidding me. You know, I thought he was, pulling my chain, you understand? He said, no, he really does. Okay, so fine. So we got in the car and we went to the VIP spot in London. It was in London. And I had an engagement that night, too, you know? So we waited for like an hour or so. It was about 500 people were invited, a special event, you know, for his new release.
Of course, yeah.
And an hour went by, 2 hours went by, and so the promoter said to me, Charlie, if you don't call you in the next 4 or 5 minutes, we have to go, because there's 1,500 people waiting to see you tonight, too.
Yeah.
I said, well, give me another 5 minutes. We waited all this time, right? So anyway, his manager comes out, grabs me by the wrist like a child, pulling me through the crowd. Now, Charlie. You know, and at that moment, my wife went to the ladies' room. I'll tell you, how things work. And she never got to meet him that night. Isn't that terrible?
Certainly is.
So we met, and he said, Charlie, I came to see you when I was a kid. You were a great inspiration to me and the fellows. And what? I didn't know where to put my head. I was so embarrassed. You know? I said, by the way, I just cut your fabulous. And he said, I was doing one of my favorite tunes. Oh, I said, gee, I don't know how to thank you. Thank you so much. He said, by the way, Charlie, did you write that? I said, no, I'm afraid I didn't. I said, shoot, you could have made some money. I said, well, it's too late.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was, what an honor to have a guy like that record your stuff. Now, about a year or so ago, he was back in town in Philly doing a concert. And he went to the big arenas here. The seats like 15,000 people. And you couldn't get a seat in the joint. Of course, he gave me special tickets. We went to see him backstage once again.
Yep.
And he held my book. I have a book out, you know. And he said, give me, I'll put it in the picture, Charlie. And he endorsed it. I mean, my God, what a wonderful guy. I just, I know how to say thank you. It was just outstanding person. He's a wonderful
yep.
guy and a great talent, of course.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Yeah.
Yep.
And what about Cliff Richard? I had Cliff on the show here, and he couldn't speak more highly of you. He's got a lot of your stuff on his jukebox, I know. So, and you met up with Cliff Richard, I seem to remember.
Yes, I met him in England years and years ago. I went to one of his concerts. I was invited. What a great performer, by the way, you know. And
yeah.
A nice chap. We only met for a few moments. Now, as the years went by, my son and I had a radio show here outside of New Jersey and Philadelphia. Well, an hour a week, we just sit and play our favorite songs and talk about different artists they worked with over the years, you know? So we finally got him on the phone to do an interview. We had him on for an hour. He was in Florida at the time. And we chatted, and what a gracious guy. I mean, he just re-recorded 2 new albums of oldies. He did Butterfly, and he did Fabulous, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are just outstanding people. What can I say except thank you very much?
Yeah. No, he is a nice guy, and the day I had him on for an interview, he doesn't live very far away from here, and he was due to come on at a certain time, and then he phoned me from his car saying he'd been caught up in all the student riots, and did I want him to come on earlier? And he did, and we chatted for a good 40 minutes, and he was a really, really nice guy.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
He was trying to get me an interview with Jack Good, but unfortunately that ain't never going to happen now.
No, unfortunately not. I remember Jack from when I was a kid. I was here in the late 50s, you know.
Yeah, he had some big shows over here in the UK.
Yeah.
Really good. Now, what about your book, Rock and Roll's Hidden Giant? I mean, I've got a copy. A lot of people have got copies. It's still selling.
Yeah.
I think it's in the second print, isn't it?
Yeah, Yeah, it's doing very well. I'm still waiting for a royalty, but I mean, outside of that, listen, I really don't care at this point in my life. It's a legacy to leave behind, and it tells the story of my life. It's like an autobiography. And everybody that purchased the book, it's only like $20, you know.
Yep.
Everybody seemed to enjoy it, and there were the parts of the book that they didn't realize and went through in my life, you know.
Yeah.
Like Joan and I and so forth, my wife Joan.
Yep.
And the kids. And listen, I'm just a human being like everybody else. I sing and play the guitar for a living, and it's sufficed for 66 years now.
It's a long while. Long while.
Wow. You know, I close my eyes sometimes, and I look back at myself. I still feel like I'm a kid at 20 or 21 years old, but time marches on, and I'm happy to be here. I'm still active, as you know.
Yeah.
And it's got guys like you keep us alive with playing our music on the radio and so forth. And I've made so many wonderful friends, including yourself, over the years that everybody stuck with me. It's just wonderful.
It's great.
I can't thank everybody enough, really.
Yeah. Well, I've got to tell you, anybody out there who hasn't read that book should get out and buy it. Rock and Roll's Hidden John. It is an eye-opener. It's a great book. It really is a good story. So I hope it sells well for you. I hope it keeps selling. I know it's been a good seller, and I hope it keeps selling well for you.
Well, like I said, it tells my life story, and if people want to see what it's really like to be a performer, everybody thinks it's peaches and cream. It's a tough way to make a living. But you know what? Thanks to my parents for giving me the opportunity. I've always made a living as a musician. I never had a day gig, as they say in the business. I've done all my life. So how fortunate can you be? You do something you love, and you meet wonderful millions of people throughout my life and wonderful performers that I've worked with over the years. My God, it's like dying and going to heaven almost. Not quite, but almost.
Now, listen, talking about your parents, I know that you and Eddie Cochran were great mates. And I know that your mum used to serve him up a great dish, which he liked.
Oh, yeah, he loved it with it. Well, they call it sauce, you know, red sauce. We call it gravy.
Yeah.
the Italian American people. And he would make the macaroni, you know, the meatballs and the sausages and the braciole. And he was at my house a few times, along with Jerry Capehart, his manager at the time.
Yep.
And when the kids would come out, I mean, they all knew me because I used to play baseball with them, so it was no big deal. But when he came into town, the street would line up of like hundreds of kids, you know, to see him. And he'd come out and say hello to everybody. I can't express what a great person he was. Not only a great talent, but a good human being. He was a wonderful, good-looking kid. He had everything going for him. It's a damn tragedy what happened to him. I'll never forget it.
Certainly is. He was a great artist. And the only really sorrowful thing now is with you and him that when... And this is no disrespect, but whenever you see a new picture or something come up with Eddie, he's forever young, isn't he?
Well, of course.
Because he died young.
Yeah. Well, the same with him, James Dean, and all those guys. You still remember them as kids. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But if he was alive, he'd be 2 years younger than me, so he'd be 8 years old now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Great stuff. Now, can you remember? Can you remember doing the Hippodrome in London?
Of course, how could I ever forget? I mean, it was at that point in my life, I mean, that was a dream for me just to perform in Great Britain, which I read about in all the history books and all, you know. And just to appear there was a thrill for me. I look back at it now, even all those years that have passed. I'll never forget the first performance I did there when I landed. I took a ship at that time, my manager and I, Bernie Rothbard, and we took 7 days to get there. We were the Mauritania, British liner, you know, Cunard line.
Yep.
And we landed in Le Havre that night, and the next morning, Southampton. And Lou and Leslie Grade, you know, who promoted me at the time, Harold Davis, they were pretty big shots at the time. I was just a kid, for God's sake, green, you know. I was sort of shaking a little bit. So my opening performance, I went out there, and I just did what I did, you know. And it was successful, and I had two successful tours, 57 and 58. Played all the theaters from London to Scotland. What a thrill it was for me, and my goodness, yeah, I look back at it now, it seems like a couple of weeks ago, but it's a lot of years have gone by. Mm-hmm.
I was just reading, I get the Vintage Rock magazine every couple of months when it comes out. There's a great picture of you in there with the cleaning ladies.
Yeah, somebody keeps telling me that. I haven't seen that yet.
I'll see if I can grab a spare copy and I'll stick it in the post here.
Oh, thanks.
And then you did the Stockton Globe, of course.
Yes, yes, I have one of the chaps after the show. I think I was there for a week or 5 or 6 days. And said we should work a theater a week, you know, and then do an extra gig on Sunday somewhere else on the road. And this chap told me, said, Charlie, here's a little memento to take home for your trip here in Stockton. Well, I said, gee, thanks. And nobody recorded things live in those days.
No.
It was done on a tape recorder.
Yeah.
And the years went by and years went by, and finally a roller coaster, John Beecham, said to me, gee, we'd like to, you know, rent your tape or whatever, put it out. I said, we'll go right ahead, you know. And I think they did fairly well with it for a while. And it's a live performance, which is almost unheard of in the late 50s.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I mean, I've got the LP, and it's really very, very good.
Well, considering the time, and considering that I didn't have a rock and roll band with me, I played with the theater orchestras.
Yeah.
I was all alone on the stage, and I looked down, and it looked like a Q-tip convention. Everybody had white hair, you know what I mean? And now I fit in that category.
Yeah, that's you and me, mate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but hey, listen, we're still here, so I'm not kicking, man.
No, that's it. And I did a live recording of one of your shows. You did a show, goodness knows how many years ago now, in Guildford. And I had my recorder with me, and I stuck it into the preamp and recorded the whole show. I did come up and ask you, and you said, yeah, you can do what you want, man. You can do what you want.
Yeah. Well, I tell everybody that, guys. If you want to film it, you want to record it, do anything you want. It doesn't make any difference to me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what happened to it, because I've still got it, but I sent a copy of it off to, what's the girl's name? The record company you're with now.
Oh, APCO?
Yeah.
Or Lanark?
Yeah. What's the girl's name?
I know who you mean.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble sticking them in my
mind. Yeah, well, I sent them off a copy because they asked me send
really?
It, but I didn't hear any more. But
really?
The recording was good. You recorded with, I can't remember the name of the group now, but they weren't the best of groups, but they were okay, and the recording came out fine.
How about that?
Yeah. So, yeah, so I've still got that, and we'll see how it goes anyway. Okay, mate, so it would be great if you do come over in the fall. I mean, there was a great tour lined up last year, which sort of fell dead at the last minute. That was a bit annoying.
Well, the promoters had some kind of difficulty between themselves. It had nothing to do with us artists, you know?
No.
And I was disappointed because it was like a 5 or 6 week tour of all the theaters in it, because I love theater work. I mean, they're there to see you, and nobody's drinking or eating or anything.
No.
They're just there to see the show, you know? And I was looking forward to it, and son of a gun, it just fell through. But what can you do? I had no control over it, you know?
I was so pleased for you when I saw that, when I heard about that, because, you know, I've said to you for years, you should still be doing theatres. It ain't that easy, I know, and you've got to fill a theatre. I think Terry Dean was going to be on it. He's a nice guy.
Yes, and Vince.
That's it. Well, Terry's been in here, and I've done an interview. I phoned Terry up and said, could we do an interview over the phone? Don't be silly. I'll come down. And he came down from North London, and we did a great interview.
Well, a few years back, I was at your studio there in Walking, wasn't I?
You were. You nicked my best cup of coffee and my mince pies, because it was about Christmas time.
Yeah, I remember,
So do I. I've never forgiven you for it.
Son of a gun, you.
Anyway, we've been talking for about 20 minutes, and it's really good of you to get up nice and early, because I know it's only about 9 o'clock, 20 past 9 out there.
All right. I've been up for a couple of hours already.
I know. Did you work last night?
No, I was off. I'm off this week. It's like a vacation week for me. What happened was we had a big show coming up for the veterans, you know?
Yep.
And it had been raining, so it was an outdoor thing, and it rained so much, I had to cancel it to put it up for a future date.
You know? I saw something about that.
Yeah, we had about 4,000 or 5,000 people were supposed to show up for it, an outdoor event, you know? So we'll see what happens. I'll probably reschedule it for some other time. So meanwhile, I was off for a week. I was bumming around.
Yeah, never mind. Give you time to cut the grass.
Yeah, believe me, I've cut it 3 times already in the past 10 days. It's been raining so much. I thought it felt like I've been in England. Really, the rain is...
You should be here now. We're having a run of good weather. It won't last, so you better get over it quick.
Well, hey, listen, when I get there, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So I live with it like you guys do.
Yeah.
It's not important. The important thing is the people. The British people have been, they were my salvation, really. You know, you read my book, you know what happened.
Yeah, I know.
And Britain to me was like dying and going to heaven. And when I still come there, and I've been there about 50 times already, it's always a new adventure for me, you know, because I see so many people that I love, like you and your family, and you just come out to see me. We have something to eat together. We laugh. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know. It's not the money.
No.
Hey, listen, like I said to Paul McCartney, Paul, when he said, did you write the song, you could have made some money? I said, Paul, at this point in my life, it's too late. I'll never get rich. It's too late. You know what I'm saying? I made a nice living all these years, thank God, doing what I like to do. And I don't know anybody, anything, except people like you and the people that play our music over the years. That's very important to me. More than that, that's money in the bank, I think.
That's right. Well, as you said in that interview you did with Vintage Rock, as long as people remember me as a nice guy, that's it.
Well, that's more important than anything. I mean, because there's a lot of great talent out there, but some of these guys you can't approach. They're not nasty, but... You know, they're full of themselves. I never was full of myself. The guy says to me one day, what do you do for a living, kid? I said, I sing and play the guitar. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I sing and play the guitar. You want to find out my background? If it impresses you, fine. If it don't, just go on to the next page. It's all.
Yeah.
Listen, the world will go on whether Charlie Reese is here or not. Makes no difference. But to know that I put a little influence in it, one little infinitesimal with my hits and my talent, I mean, that's a blessing in itself. I never thought I'd achieve any kind of stardom at all in my life, so no. I've been very fortunate.
No, it's been great. This really has. Well, listen, give my regards to Charlie Jr.
I will.
And his wife.
And to
oh, God, I've forgotten your daughter's name.
Angela.
Yeah, Angela. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, of course...
Christmas Eve, baby. Yeah.
And, of course, to Joan, and again, tell her a happy belated Mother's Day, because I know you've only just had Mother's Day. We had it 3 or 4 months ago over here.
Well,
so.
Not only that, stupid, we just had our 60th wedding anniversary.
I know, I saw that, and congratulations. Makes my 53 years look a bit silly.
Ah, you're still on your honeymoon.
Listen, my man, you take it easy. Looking forward to seeing you. Looking forward to seeing you when you come over.
Well, thank you. And
give
my love to Jenny.
I will do. And thanks very much for doing this. And we'll speak again soon.
I love you. God bless you. And stay well. And remember, as Winston Churchill once said, there'll always be an England.
Charlie, thanks a bunch. And really take care.
Okay, get up.
Thanks, mate. Bye. Bye-bye. Well, that was, of course, the great Mr. Charlie Gracie. So what more could I play? 1957, number one, Butterfly.
You tell me you love me, you say you're true. Then you fly around with somebody new. But I'm crazy about you, you butterfly. You're treating me mean, you're making me cry. I made up my mind to tell you goodbye, but I'm no...